Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows through each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesday features Nature Spirituality with no other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. We have a new show coming up on the third Friday of each month, Blue Marble, and I will tell you a little bit about that later. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and we at Circle Sanctuary hope that you try them all. In Bulk is a magical time of hopeful anticipation. As winter is melting and spring is budding, we ready ourselves for growth by tapping into the energies of Imbolc and celebrate the limitless potential of new beginnings. If this sounds something you'd like to do, then you need to attend Circle Sanctuary's Imbolc Festival on Saturday, January 29th. The Kindle the Flame Imbolc Virtual Festival is from 1 to 3 Central Time and features workshops, poetry readings, an Imbolc ritual. For more information, including how to register for this virtual festival, please go to www.sanctuary.org. Festival information is just right on the front page, so it's really easy to find. Tonight, I'm very excited to introduce Circle Talk listeners to Opal Luna, the author of Fabric Magic, A Witch's Guide to Spellcasting, with Crochet, Knotwork, and Weaving. Spark your imagination and bring crafting into your witchcraft with this fun and accessible guide to the magical power of crochet, knotwork, and needlework. From healing and protection magic to making poppets, this remarkable book offers you everything you need to reach your goals. Tonight, we're going to be talking about moving magical intention from your mind through your hands into the physical with physical exercises, creative techniques, and patterns. She has more than 60 magical craft projects in this book, and we're going to talk all about it. Opal Luna is a crone priestess of Minerva, a longtime witch, crocheter, and teacher. As a Reiki practitioner, she infuses healing in all her crafting. So began the evolution from crafting to craft, and the path of fiber magic was born. Opal developed this new tradition, fiber magic, as a spiritual path of the crafter. She serves on the South Florida pagan community as an officer of Moonpath Grove. For more information, go to her website at fabricmagic.com. And that's fabricmagic.com. You'll also find her on Facebook, Fiber Magic Coven, where craft and craftiness are shared. Other places to find Luna's work are Instagram with Fiber Magic, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube. Let's welcome Luna to Circle Talk and hear all about this fun new thing. Welcome, Luna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And
it's
Luna, and your name
here,
is
Deborah.
Opal, and I've got Luna
Opal.
Everywhere instead of Opal. I apologize. I'm like, what am I writing down?
Opal Luna.
You can tell I'm only with half a brain. Well, I hope our listeners can feel my excitement because I bought the book, and I love this book.
Thank you.
And what I want to tell everybody is I do not crochet or do knitting, although that is something that I'm looking about learning to do since I've read your book. But I do knotwork, and a lot of pagan and craft traditions actually have knotwork as part of their spellcraft. And so definitely that would be interesting in.
Yes.
But I do rubber stamping and scrapbooking, and a lot of what you talked about resonated with me from other crafts that you can you know, you can put this energy into and how you do it and pick color. So I am really excited to hear all about this. And so start out by telling us, how did this start to you? When did you learn to crochet?
I learned to crochet from my granny, Lula, my mother's mother, when I was 8 years old. I used to love to go up to her room, and she'd let me play in her button drawer, and she taught me to make a granny square, which I thought she had made that up because, you know, I called her granny.
That's so funny.
Later on, I found out it wasn't her original design. She wasn't exactly that old, but but anyway, I love to make granny squares and hang out with her and hear her stories, and it was just wonderful. It was an escape for me. It was a mm-hmm. comfort for me. And as I grew up, I didn't consciously know it, but on some level I knew it. It became mm-hmm. my spirituality, you know, because it really is a form of energy work to make something mm-hmm. with your hands. So much later when I started looking into witchcraft as an actual lifestyle instead of just something you see in the movies, I realized that all the things that a kitchen witch does with herbs and food and, you know, the sympathetic magic when you make candles and dress them was the same mm-hmm. thing that I was doing when I was creating things with my crochet. Because mm-hmm. first you get an idea, right? And that's mm-hmm. in the mind. So here you have this vision. And you have to get it from your head out through your hands to manifest mm-hmm. into the world, you know. So it's really a magical act to create something like that. And the layers of sympathetic magic is where you pick the colors, the herbs, the oils to anoint the yarn, you know, on and on and on. And if you go down into the fibers, when I say fiber, I don't really necessarily mean yarn and thread and cloth.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely would be, your scrapbooking would be included in that type
absolutely.
Of fiber magic.
Absolutely.
Yes. Fiber is the very essence something is made of. So you can talk about someone's moral fiber, you know, the very fiber of your mm-hmm. being. And so you get down there and okay, that's pink yarn, but it's made of cotton, and cotton grows here. And under these conditions, you've already got protection and strength before you even make anything.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
Yeah, and it's yeah. funny because as someone – when I teach classes, I'm like, if I need magic right away, I can do it. But I think it works best with layers. And like you said, in choosing colors, choosing herbs, making that choice just builds your intent stronger in the universe, which is what I think causes manifestation. And you really go into that. So explain to our listeners how you came up from crocheting to a path and what fiber magic is, because I found that so interesting.
Fiber magic is a path for the crafter. It's
mm-hmm.
basically good old-fashioned knot magic that's
mm-hmm.
been and sympathetic magic that's been brought up mm-hmm. to an art form. And when you make anything, your energy gets in there, so why not do it intentionally? And anything that you're doing intentionally there becomes magic. So I was thinking about doing these things in a way that was that mimicked spell work and ritual, you know, to really bring home the intensity of the energy work involved in creating and making anything from a pot to a you know, dish rag.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what you're making. You're putting magic in there.
Absolutely. And I will tell the listeners that your book does an excellent job of guiding someone who's maybe relatively new. And I'm not, and I still enjoyed through the process. And something as simple as you talk about grounding and centering and casting a circle and raising energy, and something as simple that I had never thought of was it's not very it doesn't make sense to be crocheting, you know, something for someone for healing and be angry. It's something else because that energy
right.
goes into
That's
it. And I had never
counterintuitive.
Thought of that before. And there's been many a times where I've had to, you know, something's happened to work and I've got to make a birthday card at the last minute. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, my God, energy I probably put into that was terrible. And that
yeah.
I had never thought of that before. And that was so clever.
You know, I took a bread making class one time and the teacher said, okay, knead that bread. Just beat it up. Get all your frustrations out. You know, just, you know, you're mad at your husband or da 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 da. And then I'm thinking, and then you're going to have your family eat this?
Exactly.
That's not right. You know, if
exactly.
I made a loaf of bread like that, then I would burn it in the fire and get rid of all those intentions.
Exactly.
And that, you know, there can be a dark side to fiber magic too, because maybe you do want to make that poppet ugly. You want to get all of that out of you and put it into one place and then take care of it in one swoop. Once that's away, then you can do healing work. So it's useful in a lot of different ways. As far as learning to crochet, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people start with that chain stitch and they never get past it. So I thought it was important to give them the chain spell so at least they could do some magic. Even if you never get into crocheting, if you have a little
mm-hmm.
ball of yarn and a hook on
mm-hmm.
your halter, then you
mm-hmm.
can do your chains. And as
mm-hmm.
you make your chains, you're putting those feelings into the chains. Could be stress. And then you take both ends and you pull it, you know, that those chains just come undone and
Absolutely.
You send that stress away.
Absolutely. That's something that's so simple. But again, if you do that and you make that part of your spiritual routine, yes, how valuable would that be in just another tool in your tool chest to be
right.
able to relieve stress and to do that?
I think everybody should do that a couple times after work before they get up on the highway.
Absolutely.
Get rid of it.
Absolutely. So tell me, you also have, I'm trying to remember, rituals in the book. I know you have like a project blessing and
mm-hmm.
setting the space. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you're going to treat it just like a ritual where you, you know, you call the quarters, you cast your circle, whatever you normally do.
Your tradition.
According to your tradition. And then raise the energy and ask for guidance from your particular deity, spirit, what have you. So really any path, any, you know, tradition can use these, this way of crafting. And so once it's made, then it makes sense then to show some gratitude for the object by having a blessing and opening the circle and going through the steps properly, you know. So then when you give that to somebody, you're giving them that ritual, that energy and that essence. So that's
Absolutely.
The way that works.
Which again is something that I had never thought of. you know, again, setting your creative space and, you know, doing things to bless it and to, you know, to have the intention and create a sacred space. Talk a little bit about that, which is something else that I had never considered before.
Well, you hear a lot about a cluttered home, cluttered mind, you know?
Right.
So if you're trying to create something in a messy space, that's going to find its way into your project, you know? So cleaning everything off and keeping everything neat and physically as well as energetically can really enhance your magical practice and enhance your puppets or the you know, the any magic that you're doing. Also, I was going to say that when you create things in this way, you also create a link to that item yourself. You know, if you're thinking about somebody when you're doing it, you're doing a healing poppet for a particular person. Once you give it to that person, then that link kind of remains between you and the object. And so every once in a while, I'll think of something that I made, and I take it as a sign that I should just send a little zhuzh their way, because maybe they need like a little extra something, always for the greater good. And if it's still, if they're still open to it, you know. But I figure, I mean, if you're gonna have me make you something, then hey, it comes with a maintenance plan. If it comes into my mind, then I send some Reiki healing out towards you. So doing it in that ceremonial way really makes a connection between you and the poppet and the person you're making it for. So
that's wonderful.
Good.
Something else that I had not considered is, I believe in your book, you also talk about the different pantheons and deities that you can work with as far as fabric magic. Talk a little bit about that and some deities, which is not, I was familiar with Bridget, but I was not a lot of the others. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting too for me to research. I had done a series of presentations for my students spiritual crafting from around the world, you know. So I had done a lot of research of the different places, and then of course you get the different deities with the places and the peoples. And the goddess that I resonate most with is Minerva. My father's mother was born in Tuscany, and so when I was studying that area, and I went all the way back to the Etruscans. So my Minerva is that original third of the triad of Tana, Uni, and Minerva, you know. So that to me is the essence of creativity. And you really can gain a lot by, you know, opening yourself to a deity that's a crafter. Bridget, of course, you know, is a very popular one. But, yeah, there's so many others, Japanese and Egyptian gods and goddesses. I mean, just... I found also a new respect for Mu, and what a master craftsman he is, and how such inspiration you can get from you know, gods and goddesses. The weaving has been women's work for eons, from the beginning, and it is I think it's always been considered a spiritual endeavor to weave and, you know, to send that shuttle back and forth because it's hypnotic, you know? So, of course, it must come from the gods, as any fairy tale will tell you.
Well, I love the spell. For as someone who loses things, or I travel a lot, so I will pack things between houses, and all my family live out of town, so I'm all legit. I love the spell work about keeping track of your tools.
Yeah, the fairies, don't hide this from me.
So tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, if you're a crocheter, you know that you go through a lot of hoops.
Oh, that's so fun.
You go through a lot of hooks. So a location spell on your favorite hook is a very good idea. I have a little kit. I call it my Fiber Magica Emergency Kit. And it's got one of my oldest crochet hooks in it. Like it was gold at one time, but all the gold has been worn off.
Oh, wow.
That's how old it is. And
well,
a little pair of scissors. Yeah, that was my granny's. And, you know, and I keep a little yarn in there and some oil so that if I hear if somebody's sick, I can just grab that and quickly do a chain spell. Because you could do the chain spell and put healing in those chains and pop it out in the direction that it's needed, you know. But,
right, and so
yeah.
As you release the chain, you release that energy.
Yeah, you're either, I mean, it's either release or banishing according to the intention that you set. If something you want something to go away from you, then you're banishing. But if you want to send it out, then you're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it works both ways. Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I know you said you are a Reiki practitioner, as I am, and I'm sure that also practice, because I have Reiki items that I have made and to give to people, and so I'm sure that is also another energy tool that you utilize.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you do learn your Reiki, you learn about the Reiki bank. You know, and really that's what your poppet would be,
right.
A Reiki bank. You know, the Reiki doll, the chakra doll that I have in the book, the pattern that I have for that, those are the colors of the chakras up the doll, and those are pockets. So you can put a crystal or you can put some herbs inside. And so when you're doing long-distance healing, I made the poppet flat, intentionally so that you could like cradle it in your arms and then it would be a comfortable way to do a long distance Reiki healing.
Yeah, and you talk a lot about something that I work with that resonates with me is color magic in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the symbolism of the colors. You can use that, incorporate that into your, say the bracelets and anklets. That's not crocheting. That necessarily. That's not tying. You can wear a blue anklet under your pants. Nobody's gonna see it. You know, nobody's gonna know it's there but you. But you have a presentation to give today, and your throat chakra needs a little splash of blue. Mainstream, there are, you know, color, power colors. You know, they talk about in business, power colors. You wear this color to do that and this thing. Well, they're doing magic, whether they know it or not. They're using color magic. So, yeah, I do that a lot, you know, wear some, just a little something. You don't have to wear an entire blue outfit. You can just have a little anklet or bracelet or little totem in your bag, you know, inside your jacket. So nobody has to know that it's there but you, because you're the one that it's infusing.
Yes, and
for
our
courage.
Too bad this isn't a Zoom call where you could see, but the poppet that she's talking about, it's in the book with directions on how to make it, and it is basically a white poppet, and it has going up little circles, which are the pockets of the different colors, like the chakra is red, and it goes up, and it's very, very nice.
Yeah, I've made a lot of those for Reiki practitioners, and especially using them to teach children about their chakras and energy work. And right now I'm developing a dog and a cat, a chakra dog and a chakra cat, because I have a friend who does Reiki on animals, and she's
absolutely
always asked.
I've done it on cats.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah, so maybe I need to make write another book.
Absolutely.
Let's see if I can convince Llewellyn. We need a fiber magic too.
Absolutely. Well, and in the book you have many examples of poppets and fiber magic crochet dolls. You know, you have crochet. You have Goddess of the Journeys. You have a mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have quite a few different things that people can choose, that they can utilize.
Yes, I tried to have a little example so that you could get a little taste of the numerology. You know, we got to count stitches, so make it count for something, you know. The basis of the Goddess of Journeys is everything is in fives, and I assigned five to journeys. So you make this little poppet, this little goddess poppet, all in multiples of fives, and you keep it in the car. She'll help you get there and back safely, you know. I put some lavender inside those, so it keep you calm when you're out in traffic. I don't really like to drive. So anything that helps is okay by me. Yeah. As far as levels, like skill levels, the book is definitely beginner to a few intermediate challenges. And the magic is the same. It's basic.
Right.
But what I've found is, you're going to find people that read this book on different levels. Maybe their crafting is way up here, but their magic is basic. Maybe the other way around. They've been crocheting for years, but they don't realize that they could combine the two. So maybe this book will bring everybody up to a level where their crafting and their craft is balanced. Then the sky's the limit. You can go from there, you know, just to get it balanced.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think you're some of us can, or many people tend to segregate our life or put it in chapters. Like, this is my family chapter. This is my family section, and this is my work section, and this is, you know, my spiritual section, and this is my craft. So I think a lot of people. I mean, I know a lot of people who are earth-centered or pagan, and they knit and they crochet, but I don't know that they've really thought of these ideas. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I think it would be so exciting to people to see. And you have a lot. I mean, is there like – how many projects do you have in here? I'm sitting here looking. It looks like you have like – 70 projects
like in here. 76, something like that.
Yeah, 76.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of different things. I mean, there's crocheted poppets, but you also have things that I, you know, spring will be here soon and Beltane will be here soon, and you have how to do weaving for a crown, which I love.
Yes, yeah, make a wire crown and weave different materials through it, and there's a lot of preparation work that goes into that. Choosing the materials is the magic, you know, and then just putting it together and then wearing it in ritual. How great would that be? You know, nature weaving, the project on nature weaving. Go out and find yourself a forked stick and weave back and forth and find elements in nature. And I think it's very important to use as many natural fibers as you can when you're doing magic. You know, there's a place for acrylic in our lives. You know, it's washable and this and that. But when you're doing something magical, cotton, wool, linen, bamboo, they come already with their own intentions, you know, with their own correspondences. So, you know, you're halfway there just choosing them. And then after you're done, you can save your scraps. You can give them to the birds. You can bury them in the ground. You know, if you're making a sigil with cotton and then you want to bury it or burn it, then you're not bringing any harm to Mother Nature, you know. That would be very counterproductive to do magic and then to do anything harmful, harm none. Yeah.
Right. But again, I want to emphasize that if you don't crochet, there are many, many projects that you can do with not making, which anyone who can tie their can do. In fact, tell us a little bit, because this is something that I use in my own practice. Tell us a little bit about prayer beads, because there's many examples of prayer beads that I think would be good for anyone. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Prayer beads are a tool to use during prayer and meditation. It's really a way of keeping count of your prayers.
Uh-huh.
I did, it comes from many different cultures have prayer beads, you know. The ones that I have in this book for the elemental prayer beads, having the four in sets of four with the basic colors, you know, that would be something to meditate on environmental issues, you know, and use those. Wear them and use them when you're doing your advocating, you know, for Mother Earth. And then you can make them in a sets of three for the triple goddess or for any, you know, set of three, then, now, and forever, you know, whatever you assign to the three, you know. So my crocheted prayer beads, I made those for myself. You can create those for, say, a particular deity or a particular sabbat, and wear those in ritual. And it's just something that you want to hold on to, since they're natural stone. You've got that energy going on when you're in ritual, and it just intensifies the experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and as I said, you have not only do you have very clear instructions, that the photographs are very. Did you do your own photography? The photographs are beautiful.
No. Llewellyn did those for me. I was so fortunate. I made all those things, and I put them in a big box, and I shipped them to Michigan. And they took all those beautiful pictures. I'm really blown away by this book. I mean, the way they put it together, I mean, the paper looks like it's handmade paper, you know?
Yes,
it's just,
it is.
It's
very,
gorgeous.
Very nice, but I encourage everyone to get. It is. It's just, and again, I think for a lot of people, myself included, again, my partner, he does not crochet, nor is, I think, he interested in learning. But as he was going through there, it inspires you to other creatives. And it's
yeah.
like, oh, look at that. And again, he was very drawn to the prayer beads. And also, I believe that you explain and you do a witch's ladder in your book. And he was really
yes.
drawn to that. Talk to us about that, because the picture was really nice of that also.
Yeah, my interpretation of the witch's ladder is the example in the book is for a happy home.
Mm-hmm.
I know that traditionally witches' ladders are found in old barns and stuff. They might be up to 40 knots in a cord just hanging there in the rafters. And I like to think it was for protection of the animals. No cursing was involved. But I got the idea that you could hang something like that in your home, and each knot would hold a bead of a different color. And you
mm-hmm.
would use the color magic to each represent something in your home that you wanted to see. Not when you do something like that, you want to
uh-huh.
picture it as it should be, as it
right.
is, you know? So red might be for the passion, maybe a little in any room of the house, a little more passion in any room of the house, you know, orange for creativity. So that you have some intelligent conversations going on at home, you know, and then you dress it with, the rungs, different herbs. I have a rosemary bush
mm-hmm.
in the front of my house. And when I use the rosemary in my cooking, I always keep the stems for my witch's ladders, because that would be very healing to put those through the beads and the knots.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's something that with the instructions you give, they're very good. And it shows a picture of it. I think that's something that anybody could do.
Sure.
Again, you don't have to know how to crochet in order to do this.
Yes.
You
yes,
also, have, here thinking of my favorite part, you also had a section on sigils.
Yeah.
Which I
yeah.
thought were interesting. For the readers who don't know, explain what a sigil is and talk about your sigils in the book.
So a sigil is a mark that represents a big idea. You take a big old energy and you put it down into one little place, and
mm-hmm.
really it's just intensified in that one spot. Now, most
mm-hmm.
sigils are written on paper, you know, and then the paper is burned to release that energy. There's sigils that we use throughout our lives that we don't even think about it. The dollar sign and the peace sign, you know, these are symbols that represent big ideas. So
mm-hmm.
I crochet, like, I have like 9 or 10 different sigils in this book. I quite
absolutely.
A few.
As above,
peace sign,
so below.
As above,
yeah.
so below. The yin yang, an angel,
yeah.
the
yeah.
pentagram. I mean, and I just it's a whole chapter. It's chapter 9. And I tried to create them in a way that you would prepare yourself. You would create the sigil in a spell-like situation and then bless it in some way. Now, if you use cotton, then you can actually burn it just like you would a paper sigil.
Oh, wow.
And release that energy, right? Just like you would. Now, you know, a lot of people are like, if I created that, I wouldn't want to burn it.
I'm not
burn.
The pictures are beautiful. Nobody's going to burn them.
Well, Well, then you could use it as an applique on a bag, and keep your magical goodies in there to infuse them with that big idea. You know, you might want to do something like that. But if you're doing something like the no sigil, that you're getting rid of something when you do that sigil. So yeah, you might want
to
bury
that would make
it or
sense
burn it.
To burn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send it back to the goddess and ask for it to be transformed into something more useful. Yeah. That energy needs to move on. You can't destroy energy, but you can ask it to move on and transform for sure.
Yeah. And so something, again, that's very good about your book that I encourage folks to look it up to purchase it is that not only do you have, again, we talked about beautiful pictures and directions how to make it, like on the third eye sigil, again, you talk about what it is, an application, and you have a whole meditation to do it. So you give spell work, rituals, meditations. I think that's very helpful. Sometimes people will, they will create something. They're like, okay, now what I do with it. And so your book really shows people how not just to make them, but how to incorporate them into their magical practice.
Yeah, I thought that was very important. You know, when I do my crochet work, I like the things to be useful, you know. I don't want something just laying on a shelf. It's got to have a purpose, you know, even if it's just to look pretty. But these things, these sigils, they're to be used, you know. So you want to have a purpose for them. And once you've tried it my way, I bet you'll come up with more ideas, ways to use these things, you know, and I'd love to hear about it on
Absolutely.
Facebook.
Like I said, I think it's very inspirational. And again, just the concept of creativity intertwined with your spirituality is just, it seems very simplistic, but I don't know that a lot of us have taken the time to think about that. And I believe your book is very inspirational. You have, if I remember correctly, you have something that someone can do for every turn of the wheel for all the eight festivals.
Yes. Yes, yes, a different project. All eight plus the ninth pagan pride make a pride
all
ribbon.
Right.
Yeah. That's one of the projects is a pride ribbon. I have the Fiber Magic Coven on Facebook.
That is so irritating. I was just thinking about that. Tell us
public,
about your Facebook.
Okay. It's a public group called the Fiber Magic, Magics with a K, Coven.
Uh-huh.
And all crafters are welcome. We have people who create crystal grids. We have photographers that take every phase of the moon. So, you know, they're weaving shadow and light to create those photographs. That's fiber magic. We have all different types of crafters come together, and they're so supportive. And so many of them have bought the book, and they're trying different things in the book, and they post it, and they get, lots of likes. On their makes. And then if anybody has a question, I'm there. I'll go live every once in a while and show everybody a little something. And we're trying something new. Next Tuesday night, we're going to Zoom the Fiber Magic chat, the Fiber Magic Coven chat. We're going to talk to each other live in real time for the first time.
Oh,
so, yeah. So if you join the coven this week, then you can get the link, the Zoom link, to join us in the chat next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay. And
so
that's January 25th.
Fun.
So that's really, really cool. So you're just going to send everyone who's on your Facebook the link?
Yeah. The link is posted in the coven. So everybody knows about it. There's a event, one of those Facebook events inside the coven.
Right.
Yeah. I have
so
a website.
Is there a fee to join your Facebook coven?
No, absolutely not. It's all free. And I've got a website, fibermagic.com, where
mm-hmm.
you can find the link to the coven. You can find a place to sign up for my newsletter. Every 10 days or so, I send out a newsletter with a little, you know, where I'm going to be, what's coming up. This tonight's show has been advertised for the last 3 weeks. just keep track of me. If you want to keep track of me, just go to fibermagic.com. Yeah.
That's really exciting. Now, and you're on Instagram. I'm barely on Instagram, so I don't know a lot about Instagram. So tell folks about Instagram, how they can find you. Because I know a lot of people don't do Facebook. They do Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Fiber Magic on that, too. It's just Google Fiber Magic, FiberMagic. And there's a website. There's an Instagram, Facebook page, Facebook group, YouTube channel, Twitter, and Tumblr.
Unbelievable. And I've never even heard of Tumblr, so I'm not very
I know.
Social media.
That's like a blog. A lot of crafters hang out on Tumblr. It's like
a
more of a blog style. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, very nice. I retired from my muggle job the end of last year, so I'm a full-time fiber magician now. And
right.
I've just been hitting the social media and learning how to do things, you know, creating a newsletter and website and all these things. And I'm just having a great old time.
That's so fun. It really is a different form of communication. So that absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's skilled work. I know people get paid money, good money to do these things for people. I'm trying to do it for myself, but I'm going to hang in there.
Oh, that's so fun.
See what I can do.
So if folks want to buy your book, how can they order your book on your website?
They can order the book at Llewellyn.com.
Okay, that's a great place to go.
That's the great place to go. Right now the winter sale is on. My book's not on sale, but if you spend $30, you get free shipping. So you can buy my book. You can buy my book and a sale book and get free shipping. So you just spend the shipping money on a second book.
Oh,
I suggest
that's clever.
Either Cord Magic or maybe Poppet Magic, something to go with my book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, your book really is, again, I will describe things. You have a Book of Shadows cover, which is really nice and would be fun to do. So, again, this is the kind of book you need to just go look at it and browse through it, and I know they're going to want it. Again, even if you don't crochet, I think going through, it's very inspirational, and it just gives you thoughts on how to create. You have a bath salt bag, and you have things about ritual bathing, a power cloth, which I really, really liked that idea.
Yeah, I once upon a time did a segment in a newsletter. I called it the supermarket strega, and I tried to take things that you could get at the supermarket and the dollar store.
So
the candle cozy, you can get white candles, you know, you can get white candles at the dollar store, and then you can create the cozies, and it's instant candle dressing, you know, and you can use it again and again and again. The Book of Shadows cover, you know, everybody loves a
mm-hmm.
beautiful leather-bound Book of Shadows, but
mm-hmm.
you may only be able to afford one. You make covers for, you know, the 50-cent notebooks that they sell in the school sales, you know, just your
right.
your basic composition notebook, and
right.
you can just fill up as many as you want.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it is really, it's really fun. No, I like your, in fact, your power wash cloth. It's funny because one of the things that, that I've done and I've taught is that when you go to a hotel or you stay, you get those little bitty bars of soap that nobody uses. And
yeah.
I collect those. I love them because, like, now I'm looking for a job. I can take that and I can, again, like you would a candle, dress it, put oils on
uh-huh.
it. I will carve sigils in that. And then I will shower with that when I'm going for a job interview or I will do things. And so as soon as I saw your about the power wash cloth, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to get that, and I'll have to marry it with my soap idea. So, again,
oh,
the layers
excellent.
Are really good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, and, you know, that's the way this becomes a lifestyle instead of just
right.
something you do from 6 to 9 on Friday night or whatever. You know, this is
right.
just part of living, and it goes back to the original witches before religion, where this was just trying to keep your families alive. You know, this is
right,
just
a way of life
to survive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love the old ways. They're the
yeah. Again, I, you know, you go through your spirituality as a journey, and I much have went from, you know, having big, elaborate ceremonial circles to, now I try to find every way that I can just weave my spirituality in my everyday life. Do more
yeah.
rituals and cooking. And like I said, if I'm looking for a job or healing, I will make soaps for people. And I, again, I think I've anoint candles. And again, I think the more those layers, just like magic, that you add to your life, I think the richer and the universe hears you and the more you manifest what you ask for.
Oh, yes, then things start coming your way because you're putting it out there. And
right.
The more it's accumulative, you know, because you're
right.
doing these things a little bit every day till it just becomes part of you. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. How long did it take you? Because this book is so big and it is so
mm-hmm.
rich. How long did it take you to do it? Your whole life?
yeah. That's right. Yeah, I jokingly say when someone said, how long did it take you to crochet that? And I say, well, 64 years, because first I had to be able to crochet it. But, you know, but that's just, I'm being silly.
you're so cute.
I began collecting all my thoughts together for this project maybe 5 years ago. I actually
wow.
put them into a book and self-published it, which only cost me a lot of money. It didn't go anywhere. But I lovingly refer to that as the pamphlet now. It was enough
mm-hmm.
to get the attention of Llewellyn.
Right.
So then I had to, you know, collect all those notebooks from all over the house. And mm-hmm. what Llewellyn did was help me codify it into
mm-hmm.
the book that you see
right.
today, you know, to
right.
organize and to hone my communication skills
right.
to slow down and actually describe things, you know, that were in my head.
Right.
This is the lesson that you have to learn when you're writing patterns. Is that something that seems like too trivial to mention to you is a really important thing that somebody needs to know before they can understand the next step. So slow
right.
down and, you know, organize
yeah.
your thoughts. Think about it before.
And as I said, you did a very good job of not just having a beautiful picture and describing how to make the object. Like with the chakra doll with pockets, you put in here
mm-hmm.
and you talk about how to use it, the doll in neutral colors, so the emphasis is on the color of chakra. I mean, there's a lot of useful tips that, again, someone finally makes these things that we would know how to use them. So, Opal, well done. Your book is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel really, really, you make me feel so special.
Oh, no, this book was really good. I was really, really excited when I read it, and then I was able to reach out and have you on the show, and I can't believe it. I told you this hour goes by fast. I'm chatty.
Really?
Yes. We need to come back to you. You need to write another book. I do want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with on us to share your new book. And a reminder, it is Fiber Magic with Opal Luna. And it's so funny, I kept calling you Luna. I have a friend who's named Luna. So I'm like, I couldn't get Opal. I keep calling you Luna. But it's Opal Luna, and it's A Witch's Guide to Spellcasting with Crochet, Knotwork, and Weaving. So
this is really a lot of fun.
You can want more information. You can go to her website. It's fabricmagic.com. That's fabermagic.com.
F-A-F-I-B-E-R. Fibermagic.com. Fiber.
And it is also, she's on Facebook, Fiber Magic Coven, and Twitter, Instagram. I don't know what Tumblr is, but she's on that too. And so good luck, and everybody needs to go on Facebook and join your Fiber Magic Coven, because next week on the 25th, you're going to have a Zoom.
Yeah, all right.
That's really exciting.
Everybody's welcome. The only thing missing from the coven is you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you
again. Join us. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be here. Such fun.
And besides Opal, I want to thank Dave and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Each spoke on the Wheel of the Year represents an opportunity for transformation. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, February 1st. Author Tiffany Glazik will be on Circle Talk discussing her latest book, The Noble Art from Shadow to Essence Through the Wheel of the Year. I look forward to being with you all again, so please come back. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
The goddess to unfold. Let it all go, aged and earth sisters dwell. Bring your worries and your concerns to the healing waters and the fire that burns.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.